they do that for me. So that don't let that throw you off.
What time you start?
What?
What time you start?
We need to be ready to start the second time, about the 11 o'clock.
Hey, excellent. My goodness, I can sing a little bit with that much time. My mother, God bless her, when she got saved, she she always liked to hear me sing. And, of course, when I was young, I'd sing Hank Williams and Merle Haggard songs and, I mean, Patsy Cline. oh, my goodness, you know, craziest thing. When I was a little boy, my father was a gambler. That's what he did. And that was before gambling was popular. And so he was a gambler and made it rough on us. And he had these, what he called nightclubs, but they weren't really nightclubs. They were just hole-in-the-wall beer joints. And what they would do, they would pull these jukeboxes out of them and the old records. And so in our home, what we had as boys, we didn't have a stereo. We had a jukebox. And we didn't have lights. We had all these old beer lights, you know, that they took out and lit up. And then we'd get all those old songs that were all scratched up. We'd get those records. And now that was our entertainment, you know. We'd hit the jukebox and play whatever we'd play in our house. Can you imagine growing up like that? And my mother, God bless her, she was a romantic. She's just a little old girl. And when she was, when we were young, she would put on a little Patsy Cline and put us on her toes, and we'd dance around the living room, you know. I tell you. You know, you think about that, thank God for those sweet memories. Now, you know, she wasn't a Christian, but she became a wonderful, wonderful Christian. I had the joy of leading her to Christ, and she finished strong. The Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And, boy, you just thank God for what the Lord. But anyway, when I got saved, God led me, and we started Gulf Coast Baptist Church. When she got saved and became part of the church, every once in a while, there'd be a little note in the offering, and it would read, let Tommy sing. Let Tommy sing. And everybody knew who it was. It was my mother. Let Tommy sing. So once in a while, I'd just kick off Cleofalo's pot and kick the honey keg over and dive in both ends and sing a little bit, you know. But always enjoy it. Always enjoy the service. Love you, preacher. God bless. What a great guy. You know, and what a team. And thank the Lord. You know, not many churches have such a powerful team. He and his wife are just amazing people. Thank God for both of them. And the precious family. You know, I've had the joy and privilege of my daughter and son-in-law have been on staff with us for many years, and I thank God for that. And he's a great Christian. And, boy, people get stirred up, you know. When I get to go out of town, he gets to preach a lot more and sings and does all these things. And what a blessing. This past Sunday, I was here, of course, and this past Sunday, I called back and said, how'd it go? And, oh, it went great. My goodness. And one of our men texted me, one of really just an encouraging guy to me. He texted me and said, Pastor, we had some kind of service today. Had a lot of visitors. Some visitors got saved. Some children got saved. God really worked in our services. I said, thanks. I appreciate that. Did anybody happen to notice I wasn't there? listen, well, I want the next generation to take it and run with it, don't you? I don't want it to stop with me. My goodness, I said a long time ago, I'm going to fan the fires. Just fan the fires. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. How many have your Bible with you today? When I went to Highland Park Baptist Church, one of the dear men would get up every Sunday night, and he would make some announcements, and he would say this. How many have your Bible with you today? And we'd raise our hand. Now, how many read the Bible every day this week? Wow. And I thought, uh-oh, every day. And I'm thinking, Monday, Tuesday, yeah. Uh-oh. And then it dawned on me, Sunday's the first day of the week. I was in the service Sunday morning, I read it. Hey! Yeah, get this week started right. I was here this morning. We read the Bible. But we do that in our church. Now, listen, how many read the Bible this past week? But, You know, you encourage people, just little things like that, get people in the Word of God to where they read the Bible and think on God's Word during the week. Well, I want you to look with me now. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he journeyed in the land of promise as a stranger, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same faith. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promise." And I want you to look down verse number 15. "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned." Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to help me this morning, that you might anoint me fresh and new with your Spirit. And dear Lord, that you would take this message you've given me and do what I can't do, and that's speak to the hearts of people. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that's not sure they're going to heaven, oh dear Lord, it would please us, and I know it would please you for them to trust you as Savior. But help all of us determine that when we leave this meeting today, that we're going to please you with our lives. And we'll thank and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to speak this morning on this man called Abraham. Abraham. And I'm titling my message, "Going, Going, and Going." Abraham never stopped. He kept going. He got started for God when most people finish life. That's when he got started. And he kept going and going and going and going. It's amazing what the Bible says about Abraham and Sarah. Sarah, powerful woman. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 and following, about Sarah, "whose daughters you are." We started a few years ago what we call the Daughters of Sarah, an old fellowship that goes all the way back for centuries. Women who hold true to the things that Sarah held true. God bless him. And by the way, y'all didn't try to encourage women. So much preaching today is done for men, encourage men, but God uses women. And we thank God for all the wonderful women that we read about in the Word of God. I was so tempted this morning to preach on one of the women in the Bible, but I decided not to. But women, Sarah was quite a woman. She left a powerful testimony. By the way, the Bible says that she left a tent for her daughter-in-law. She went into Sarah's tent. What did she discover? That's a lot to think about. But anyway, think about Abraham just going and going and going, and Sarah right beside him, going for God. And I want you to think about, what is it that keeps a man and a woman going for God? What is it? You know, I want to finish strong. The Bible says, better is an end of a thing, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Now look, I get excited when people get started, don't you? I mean, I get excited when people come and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I say, hallelujah, let's go after it for God. But what really thrills my heart is to see people that are still going and going and going and going. After the angels have gone, after the fireworks is over, they're still going for God. Now, what is it? Well, first of all, Abraham got started right. He had faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, we begin this journey by faith, by faith. Faith, what is faith? Well, the Bible says that faith is the Word of God says in verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, the Word of God says that, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Faith. What is it? I try to teach our people what it means to have faith in God. First of all, faith is a need for God. A lot of people don't need God. They don't realize they need God. But the moment that you read from the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. The moment that you read you're a sinner and you owe a payment for your sin and the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, you should know that you need God. Faith is a need for God. Faith is a dependence upon God. And it takes the same thing to keep going that it did to get going. See, we begin this journey by faith. We need God. We're dependent upon God. But the way we keep going is we keep needing God and depending upon God. And we need God and we're dependent upon God. That's why we should launch out into the deep. You see, we've gotten to a place in our ministries where we really don't need God like we once did. I mean, we've got to that place. By the way, if you can preach and you don't need God, then your preaching is not pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you can take an offering and you don't need God, then your offering taking is not pleasing to God. If you can play the piano and you don't need God, then your piano playing is not pleasing to the Lord. The only thing that pleases God is to have a need for God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. How much do we need him today? How much do we need him? The Lord Jesus said, it's my life verse. And the reason I picked it as my life verse is because it's his life verse. That's a little joke. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:29, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Now watch this. For I do always those things that please him. What does it mean to please God? It means to need God. And the Lord Jesus lived his earthly life totally dependent upon God. Isn't that amazing? And we're to live our life totally dependent upon God. Now, Abraham got started for God. And what got him going kept him going. Does everybody understand that? Now, a lot of folk have never gotten started right. They've gotten started by church membership. They've gotten started by so many things. But the only way to get started in this life is to have the new birth, to be born into the family of God, to come to Christ and realize that you're a lost sinner and ask the Lord Jesus to save you. Now, I hope I don't have to spend a lot of time on that subject, But I can tell you this, if you're a child of God, you'll have the evidence of it. And so Abraham began his journey for God. Number two, what kept him going? He believed that God had more for his life. You see, he believed there was more to it than this. He believed that God had something more for his life. The Bible says he kept looking. He kept going. He kept moving forward. He knew that God had something wonderful for his life. Isn't that amazing? I say it like this. He didn't die before he was dead. Now, I pastor in Florida. People say about Florida, they say it's for newlyweds and nearly deads. That's not true. I'm getting closer to the nearly deads. But you know what's amazing? It's amazing how many people, even young people, who do not believe that God has anything else for them. How sad. Do you know that God puts every gift for mankind, every gift in people? Every treasure, every gift. Now you think about it. Every gift that God has for mankind, he puts in people. Every gift. And God has blessed this nation. This nation is so blessed of God because God has put so many wonderful gifts in people. You think about what we've collected over the centuries and over the years in America. The best of the best. All these precious people have come to our shores. And God has put in them something special. That's why that abortion is such a crime in America. We have the most valuable gene pool in the world. Can you imagine? And think of all the gifts that have been destroyed before they ever had a chance to be born. What did we lose with the millions and millions of aborted children? But I want you to know something. God's put something in you. And the Christian life is about discovering what God has given you. God's put something in you. And Abraham knew that God had more for him than Earl of Chaldeas. He knew that God had something special for his life. And when a person gets a hold of that, they do something for God with their life. And I believe it's one of my responsibilities as a pastor and a preacher and as a Christian to encourage people, to help people discover what God has given you. And by the way, the only way to discover what God's put in you is to surrender your life completely to God. And when you surrender, God will awaken what he's put in you. And you'll know what is that perfect will of God. God will help you discover it. And Abraham said, God's given me something. And I'm not going to die before I see everything that God has put in my heart manifested in this world. He believed God, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 15. He believed God. Isn't that a simple little statement? You know, I had the privilege of working with Dr. Lee Robertson. I'm so grateful to God that for the opportunity he gave me as a young Christian. And, you know, I would get to walk with him and spend time with him. He had a radio broadcast at 8:30 in the morning. And sometimes Dr. Faulkner would do it when he's out of town. And the radio broadcast was in the old auditorium. And he would come out of the auditorium and walk down a little walkway. And then he would go across the street and walk into his office. And when he got into his office, there'd be all kinds of people, all kinds of people. And so he was busy. He was one of those guys that had a two-minute counseling session. By the way, I wish I had time to tell you how he did that. I finally discovered after a while how he did that. Powerful truth. He helped people. But when he would leave the auditorium, there'd be people lined up Sometimes they'd be one or two. Sometimes they'd be a dozen. And they were just kind of spaced out. And Dr. Robertson would walk past them. Now, if he stopped and talked to them, he never would get to his office. So one of my responsibilities was to walk with him. And I'd meet him at the radio broadcast, and he would hold my arm. And we would walk, and he would talk to me, and he'd just chat, and we're talking. Now, he knew these people wanted to see him, but he also knew that people made appointments in his office. They were waiting on him, so he'd keep going. But once in a while, he would stop. And when he turned loose of my arm, I knew that that meant he was going to talk to someone. So I would stand there, and Dr. Robertson would talk to the person. I would stand there. He wanted me to stay there. And then they would say whatever they had to say. And he'd pray with them, talk with them, just very briefly. And he'd pray with them. And then we'd walk on. And he may stop again, he may not. And he'd talk to me while we're going about the bus ministry, about soul winning, about church, and about things going on. And it was a great time for me. But I got to hear what he said to people. It was amazing. You know, you hear it over and over and over and over and over. Then one day the light comes on. You know, I remember one day the light came on. And I just kind of laughed. I thought, I get this. I get this. Wow. I get it. He would have people say, pray for me, Dr. Robertson. I'm trying to find God's will for my life. And he'd pray, Lord, help us, dear brother, to know and do your will with his life. And he'd leave, and the guy would be scratching his head. Wait a minute. And I discovered that it's not God's will for my life. It must be first my life for God's will. We can't get it turned around. If you'll give your life to do God's will, God will reveal his will and his plan, his purpose for you. But if you'll hold back your life and say, Lord, show me your will, you'll never see it. But the moment you give your life to do God's will, God says, here's what I've got for you. And I discovered that. Took a while, but one day the light came on. I said, man, I think I got this one. Nobody should ever be praying about what God wants. God's will is easy. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. If you'll give your life to do that, God will show you what you're to do with your life. As you give your life to do God's will, God reveals his will to your life. Abraham said, hey, I believe God's got a people, and I'm giving my life to do God's will. And God says, I am going to make of thee a great nation. Wow. He discovered that after he gave his life to do God's will. Are you still with me now? And he believed God. You see, it's one thing to say, I know. But it's another say, I believe. I wish that we believed everything we knew. This world would be different. You see, you can know a lot, but that doesn't change the world when you believe something. When I got saved when I was 26 years old, and I went to Bible college shortly after, and I remember sitting in the class, and there was a lot of guys and a lot of girls in class, they would talk, and they'd say, I couldn't find books in the Old Testament. Now, I could turn the front of it. Sometimes I still do that. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm at that age where you might forget something. What was I going to say next? Oh. But I remember sitting in class, and I looked out, and I said, oh, my goodness. These people, they know everything about the Bible. And here's what I thought. I will never catch up with these people. I'll never catch up with them. And I kind of had a little pity party for a little while. And then I thought, wait a minute. And God helped me get a hold of this. It's not what you know. It's what you believe. Now, you may meet people all of your life that know more about this book. But you never have to meet one person that believes more than you believe. It's not knowing what God says, it's believing what God says. And today, we have what we have believed God for. If you want more, believe more. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the... Faith is a need and dependence upon God. You say, I need you to do that. I'm believing you, dear God. I'm believing you for this. Now listen, that's the way Baptists ought to talk. I need God, and I'm believing God. I need God, and I'm believing God. And God will put in you, and God will put in me, all that He wants in this world. He's just looking for someone who will surrender to Him. And that's the secret. The Christian life can be summed up in one word: surrender. That's it. The level of our Christian service is determined by the depth of our personal surrender. Let me say it again. The level of our Christian service is determined by the depth of our personal surrender. How far we go for God is determined by how much we believe. Now, if you believe, God will do it. Do you believe that this next city needs a church? Do you believe that the people on the foreign soil need God? Well, you say, I know they do. Wait a minute. Knowing it is not changing anything. Believing it changes things. The moment we believe, we change. We change. If I go down the road and I see a house on fire and I run and kick the door open, say me and Brother Tim, and we kick the door open and there's a guy laying on the couch and Tim hollers, hey, your house is on fire. The guy wakes up and looks at him and thinks, what's wrong with you people? He don't see nothing. Now, he knows what we're saying, but he don't see anything. But let's imagine that when he kicked the door open, there was flames everywhere. The curtains are burning. And then he hollers, hey, your house is on fire. He not only knows what he's saying, he believes what he's saying. And it's not knowing it that changes him. It's believing it. Abraham believed God. The Bible says he believed God and it was accounted righteousness for him. He believed God. Third thing is he did, he wanted to make sure that his son got a hold of the truth that he got a hold of. He wanted to make sure. You see, every person ought to want the next generation to have the same thing we've got. The Apostle Paul put his life in the next generation. And Abraham wanted the next generation to have the same opportunity that he had. He wanted his son to have all that God had given him. And in Genesis chapter 22, you have Abraham taking Isaac up to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, at first, that sounds like a strange thing. Abraham said, now, the lad and I are going, we're coming back. And the Bible says in Hebrews that he believed God would raise him up. Now, he believed that. That's what the Bible says. That he believed God would raise him up. Why did he believe? Because God said, I'm going to make a great nation of you. This is his son. And God's already promised, in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. In Isaac. And so Abraham believed God. He knew that if he actually killed Isaac, that God would raise him up. He believed that. Now Isaac, he didn't know. He probably thought, I got a crazy daddy. What in the world is going on? Isaac says, where's the lamb? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself. And so, here he is. Now let me back up. Why did Abraham believe that? Because God had already promised him something. Do you remember when Abraham asked God, and I'm trying to rush because of time. Do you remember when Abraham asked God, how do I know that you're going to do this? How many remember when Abraham asked that question? Genesis chapter 15. God says, I'm going to show you how you're going to know it. And he told him to take some animals and sacrifice them. You remember that? Come in peace, sacrifice them, spread them apart. And this is what God said. God said, do that. And then Abraham, God put a sleep upon Abraham. And the Bible says that God walked through the pieces. And the Word of God says, in that day, God made a covenant with Abraham. Now, by the way, that covenant is still in place. Now, that covenant is not dependent upon Abraham. That covenant is dependent upon God. And here's what Abraham understood about that. If God doesn't do what he said he would do, now this is what that meant, that God will be like these sacrifices. He'll be dead. Abraham understood that God is going to do this because God is not going to die. And God said, if I don't do for you what I said I would do for you, this is what happens to me. Abraham never doubted God from that day. He never doubted. He knew God meant what he said. It's amazing. When he got to the place that God wanted him, he got to the promised land and found a famine. That's amazing, isn't it? How would you like to get where God wanted you and find out there's a famine? Does that change God? No. God's still God. Now it's time to teach his son what he needs to go forward. And here's what Abraham did. Abraham wanted Isaac to understand something. Not just to teach him, but to understand something. Now Isaac knew that he had a father who was dedicated and committed to God. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, there's no doubt. If you said to Isaac, what's your daddy like? Oh, he's a serious Christian. I mean, he is serious. Okay. But see, Abraham didn't want Isaac to go forward in his faith. He didn't want Isaac to go forward in his dedication. He wanted Isaac to have something himself. He wanted Isaac to get a hold of God for himself. It's not enough that we've got the faith of Lee Robertson and all these great men. We've got to know God ourselves. And so here's what he did. He said, we're going up on the mountain. This mountain experience is not for Abraham. This is for Isaac. And Isaac needs to know something. It's not Abraham that's doing this. It's not the success of Abraham that's doing this. Abraham wanted Isaac to know this one great, powerful truth that changed the world. God is committed to his children, period. And if God doesn't do what God said he will do through your life and through your children's life, God is no longer God. And so here's Isaac. Okay. Now he knew that his father was going to kill him. He figured that out about the time the knife went back. But Abraham didn't want Isaac to just know that he was dedicated to God and committed to God. Abraham wanted Isaac to know God is committed to you. God loves you. God has promised you. God is with you. When Isaac got up from that, he understood something. I'm not walking in my father's faith. I'm not walking with my father. I have a God who loves me. A God who is committed to me. It's God that's doing this work. It's God. And God has committed himself to us. I want to give you three things right down real quick, and it's going to be quick. Now, why did he keep going? Well, number one, was it because of where he was going. You know, there are a lot of people today that say, now I'm not trying to hurt missionaries. Please don't misunderstand me. But there's a lot of people today that say, hey, I'm going to Scotland. God's called me to Scotland. Everybody meet. I'm going to Scotland. And I'm glad. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm glad. But I want you to know something. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. It wasn't where he was going that got him going. It wasn't where he was going to be living that stirred him up. And there are a lot of people, and I wish it wasn't this way, but there are a lot of people that get caught up in the romance of living abroad. And they go off and they raise support and they go off and they spend a year or two or 5 years and they come back with their tail between their legs and they say, couldn't make it go. Now, look, it shouldn't be that way. But if you're just serving God because of where you're going, if you're just serving God because of where you're living, you're not going to be doing it very long. Because the where doesn't always stay paradise. I live in Southwest Florida. We have, when you get off the plane, you get in your car, drive away from the airport, it says, welcome to paradise. I spend a lot of my time convincing people to stay in paradise. And you can only imagine what people call it who want to leave. Paradise. Do you know how hot this place is? I didn't think paradise was a place that's hot. The people are unkind here. They're not Southerners. No. They're mean. They're crazy people. I love them. They make wonderful Christians. I love them. We had that parade I've told you about where we put our float in the parade and turned a corner. It's one of those things in your mind you'll never forget. And we turned down that street with our float, and there's 200,000 people came to the parade, one of the largest lighted parade in the world and the second largest parade in the nation. And we go down that street, and people cheered. They'd seen all this other stuff. But what was amazing is some of these people you never dreamed would do it, got up from the side and ran out to the float to get a track. Hungry for God. Now, I wish everybody that packed up and went back north could see that. They don't see that. See, Abraham wasn't stirred up about where he was going. Number two, he wasn't stirred up about how he was going. You know, some people get all excited about how they're going. Here's what we're going to do. We're going over here. We raise a lot of support. We got it. You know, again, I'm not being critical, please. But I've heard of missionaries getting so much money, it's embarrassing for me to hear it. It's embarrassing. And all of that, you know, how are you going to live? Oh, listen, we got all that figured out. We got a retirement plan, a working fund. We got this. I think, oh, my goodness. And look, it's how they're going they're excited about. And I think, well, I think you ought to be excited about where you're going, and I think you ought to be excited about how you're going. But Abraham didn't know how he was going. He didn't know where he was going, and he didn't have a clue how he was going to get there. So that wasn't what kept him going. If you had asked Abraham and Sarah, why are you leaving? Where are you going? He said, I don't know. Well, how are you going to get there? I don't know. Time out. Are you kidding me? He'd say, no. It's not about where I'm going, and it's not about how I'm going. Here's what it's about. Ready? Who I'm going with. I'm going with God. That's who I'm going with. I'm not so excited about where I'm going. I'm not so excited about how I'm going. But I can tell you one thing. I'm really thrilled about who I'm going with. Now, here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. Look at it. It's shocking. Look what it says. It's shocking. Look what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. Look at this. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. The Bible says, and truly, isn't it amazing God says that? And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. You know what that says? It says they never even thought about going back. It never crossed their mind to go home. It just never crossed their mind. They didn't say, oh, I sure miss all of that. The Bible said, if they didn't even think about it. Something was so powerful, something was so consuming of their heart and mind that they could not think of going back. What was it? It wasn't where they were going. It wasn't how they were going. It was who they were going with. Glory to God. Jesus said, lo, I am with you. Preacher, won't you help me this second? Do you mind? I want you to pretend, and it's going to take some imagination.
Okay. Watch it.
That the pastor is God.
All right. Watch.
Now watch. God says, I won't go for you, but I'll go with you. Everybody say that with me. Ready? I won't go, but I'll go. Remember, that's what God says. I say, Lord, there's a man here. I'd like to see you do a work in his life. Would you do a work in his life?
Sure.
What would you say?
Sure.
No. No. Wait a minute. Now, the real God, you don't have to do this with.
Okay. All right. I'll be out here.
I won't go for you, but I'll go with you. Ready? Now, don't let anybody know. Ready? I'd like for you to do a work in his life. What's God say?
I'll go with you to do it.
No, God says, wait a minute.
I'm going to go for you, I'll go with you.
Yes, yes.
I said the same thing. I'm going to go with you. Here we go. I'll go for you, I'll go with you. Come on.
So I said, well, please, I don't want to go. I'm afraid to go. And I know you can change his life. Would you please go? God says,
I won't go for you, but I'll go with you.
No matter what you say, God's not going for you, but he will go with you. Now watch. Until he goes, nothing happens. Now get a hold of this. Every person that you speak to, every person that you share your testimony with, every person you give a gospel tract to, God goes with you. And when you leave that person, God, who's able to be with you and them, stays with them and begins a work in their life. Now watch. Here God has promised, thank you, preacher. Here God has promised to go with us. But we don't want to go with God. We want to go where we want to go, and we want to go how we want to go, and we're not too crazy about who's going with us. But I'll tell you something. If people ever get a hold of who's going with them, they never, never, never turn back. And our children need to know this, that it's not our faith. It's not our dedication. It's not our sacrifice that should motivate them. It's who goes with them. Because when we leave, God keeps going. Father, dear Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Help us to believe. Help us to believe that you go with us to the ends of the earth. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.